What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computer's weekly tech podcast. This is episode 336, and our podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that gives us a little kickback and keeps the podcast ongoing. With me is my co-host, Ryan. What's going on?
Not much. I'm pumped up for the news section of this week's podcast.
Yeah.
Because I've just been like inhaling Computex news. So we'll get to that in a bit, but
I feel like this is for tech, especially for PC hardware people. I think that January at CES and then Computex time are like the two biggest things, unless like, you know, when NVIDIA has like a big launch or like a new launch as far as like a new architecture launch. I think that's really, really, that gets you kind of pumped up, but for hardware people, Computex is like where it's at. And typically you do see a lot more PC hardware stuff at Computex compared to CES.
I mean, there's a few things that we saw at CES that I've noticed in pictures today and yesterday, but there's a lot of new stuff that we haven't seen. So
yeah,
pretty exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. So lots going on tech wise. I am exhausted. I'm so tired today.
Yeah, we were both up late last night.
I was surprised.
Messing around on YouTube, and yeah, you were.
Yeah, because you're 2 hours ahead of me. Yeah, you're 2 hours ahead of me, and I was up super, super late last night to launch our video today on the YouTube channel, and just to make sure everything went good. I always freak out about that. I'm like, oh, is it gonna just not like something might happen? It might.
Well, especially when it's a product release, right? You want to make sure that you're meeting. You've got your work done and you want to be there right at the start, but you can't be early and you don't want to be late. So it's, there's a lot riding on that.
Yeah. So I just decided to stay up till 1 a.m. And then I couldn't fall asleep till like 3 a.m., which was not good either. Cause here's my thing. It was like, I was like, okay. And I was telling you this before we started here, is I was like, I'm going to have an energy drink at 7. That will make it so I stay up till 1, but then I couldn't fall asleep till like 3. So it just wasn't great. But we have a lot to talk about this week. Not only Computex stuff, but we have two launch reviews too. So these are brand new products that just came out this week. And we're super excited to talk about. They're products that I reviewed.
So one of them.
Yeah. So I'm super excited to talk to you guys about those. If you do want to follow along, we do have our full show notes page here that has everything that we're going to be talking about this week. And as you know, I'll show you on the screen, but if you want to click through, you can go ahead and do that. If you want to get more information on the things that we are going to be talking about this week, but let's jump in. Launch today is the brand new Fractal Design Terra Mini ITX case. And I actually have it. And it is small. It's the smallest case that I've ever reviewed. I mean, like here it is.
It's little for sure.
Yeah, it's tiny.
I mean, when you put it in some of the pictures, you had it next to the Cooler Master NR200P, right?
Yeah, NR200P Max.
That thing looks huge compared to this thing.
Yeah, this thing is super, super tiny. It's super, super tiny. And I'll go through the actual review, but just want to show you guys, like, one of the coolest things about this is you can just pop open the doors like this. It is just super cool that you can go ahead and do that. One of my favorite things. But this is, like I said, super, super small. And it does have, I don't think Ryan's the biggest fan of this, but the walnut wood on the front.
Well, I hadn't seen the colorways, right? I think, and I don't even know if you sent me. Oh, I saw that when you asked me about the YouTube thumbnail picture. I think that's the first time I saw that, right? You hadn't shown me or anything. And then today I saw the green color.
Yeah.
I think the green looks awesome wood.
I could have got the green, but I was like, I'll get the silver. I think everybody's going to want the green. So I picked the silver.
Yeah, I think the green looks really good with the wood.
Yeah, when they had asked me. Now, for everybody, we do have a full YouTube video on the case on our YouTube channel. So that's the thumbnail that Ryan was talking about there. But if you want to check out the video, it is on our YouTube page. Go ahead and check it out. Full review of the case. But we were talking about this again before the podcast. You know, Fractal reached out and was like, we have this new case. It's Mini ITX. And I was like, Mini ITX. Not a, like, as much as you,
it's a lot of work.
It's it's a lot of work, but when you review cases, it's not something that like you're going to use, right? Like after this, like this is probably going to go back in the box because I have other things to review with my mini ITX hardware, right? You know, so it's not something you necessarily get to enjoy, right? It's just a review product. And mini ITX systems are typically very hard to do the install. It can be very, very annoying. You don't have a lot of room to work in. So I was kind of skeptical, but I was like, you know, I want to check this out. It is really, really small, which also had me worried because the smaller the case, typically the less room you have to work with, right?
Yeah, obviously.
But like I said, I decided to check it out and I'm glad that I did because the experience was probably the best mini ITX experience that I've ever had. I've reviewed, you know, a bunch of mini ITX cases over the years. And this experience was probably the best, easiest to build in. So we'll go over the case. The case itself is, like I said, I mean, I showed it to you guys. It is tiny. It is, like I said, the smallest case, 10.6 liters or 10.4 liters, I'm sorry, case. And the outside is all aluminum. So it's also extremely light. I picked this thing up and I was like, damn, this thing is really, really small. So the front and back panels are 8 millimeter thick anodized aluminum here. Just look amazing. Pictures don't do it justice. If you have a micro center, I'm sure they'll have some of these on display eventually. Check out like it in the store because it looks awesome. Of course, you have the walnuts, and this is real wood on the front here. And then embedded in that, you have your power button, USB 3.0 type A, USB 3.1 Gen 2 type C port in there too. So you have all that. It just looks sleek. And I think that's, I mean, Fractal is pretty much known for that kind of look, that sleek design. So they have that here. And again, the size, this is a mini ITX case. And it is just super, super tiny there. So again, super, super tiny. The side panels are, again, aluminum, and I showed you how they open up, which is really cool. But they have all of this ventilation, and there's no mesh. There's nothing like that. So you get as much airflow into the case as possible. And when you have, you know, power-hungry components in such a small space, which you'll see, I think this is the better way to go. Just because, again, you want that air to get into the case, right? Things are going to be kind of not smashed together, but it's a very small design here. At the top, Ryan said he wasn't a fan of the leather strap.
No, you just kept saying fake leather strap in the video, and it just cracked me up.
It's not real leather.
I mean, it's not real leather. So
yeah. But there's a strap here that allows you to open the top of the case. The back, super simple design. Mini ITX motherboard here. Graphics card here. It's slotted for 2 slot, but you can fit more than that, which I'll show you. And then the bottom, and the interesting thing about the bottom of this case, and I did put it in our written review, is that you have these holes, right?
Yeah.
And Fractal Design does not list any support for fans on the bottom under the case. I think because there's not a ton of room, but there are some companies that do make really, really slim fans. Now, I don't know how effective it would be, right? Because again, you're on the ground essentially.
Right.
It would be interesting to see. I don't have any super, super thin fans to test, but the holes are there, but they don't list any compatibility on the bottom. But it's worth noting. I assume over time, I think we will see people.
Does it have rubber pads on the bottom of the feet?
Yeah, I think. Pretty sure.
I couldn't.
Yeah, there's rubber. So
okay,
there's actually rubber on the fronts and the here. It's hard to see, but there's rubber like right here on the front and the back. Yeah. And then the cool thing about these side panels is they pop up. Let me just show you guys. I'm trying to do this with holding it. I don't want to drop it. But the side panels, like I said, they pop open like this. And it will just stay there. So it's like a gull wing door, sort of like a DeLorean. But if you want to release the panel, there's just a little lever here. You just press that and the panel releases. It's probably the best design that I've seen for a toolless a toolless side panel, right? I don't think you could get away with this on a full size case. There's just too much stuff. Like, it's just, that would be too big. But for this size of case, it just works flawlessly. And again, there you can see the little lever there that you release, and it just comes right off. It's awesome. Now, as you get into the case, we have this sort of center spine, and you can see we have a sandwich design. So if you're familiar with Mini ITX stuff, sandwich design basically means you have your graphics card on one side, motherboard, power supply on the other side. And as we get inside, you know, we have a PCI Express 4.0 riser here, all ready to go for your graphics card. And then on the opposite side, you know, you have your, where your motherboard's going to be mounted here. And then you have your power supply. This supports SFX and SFXL power supplies. And then you can fit on the bottom here below your power supply, you can fit a 120 millimeter fan. Even though there's holes here, there's not room to put a fan, but the holes are there, which is interesting that the holes are there. And then you can put a SSD down here if you want. And then at the front, which we will get to there, at the front of the case, there's these Velcro straps, which I initially thought were just like for cable routing, but you can actually mount an SSD in there, 2.5 inch SSD in here as well. Which that's actually where I mounted my SSD. Now, talking about clearances and things, because I think that's what a lot of people want to know about, this center spine can actually be moved to accommodate a larger graphics card or a larger cooling solution. And they have all the clearances kind of laid out. So again, there are screws on the top, like, you know, you can see them right here. There's screw holes. And then there's screw holes on the bottom, and they have numbers. So obviously you match them up with the correct number. And then that will give you your clearances. So Fractal Design has done a really good job letting you know what will fit in this case, as far as, you know, CPU cooler height, as well as GPU lengths and everything like that. It can fit, I think it's 331 millimeters. For the GPU as far as length, and then width, it depends on the height of your graphics card. Again, they have everything laid out, but if you put this in the max GPU configuration, meaning that you have the most space, you've adjusted the center spine to the most space, you can fit a Founders Edition RTX 4090 in here, which is pretty impressive. And I didn't actually put it in the review because it wasn't in our it wasn't in our use case, but, you know, an RTX 4090 has that push through design for cooling. So air flows through it. They have it so you can change the power supply mount around. So you have the fan up against your graphics card. So it will go through. Yeah, it just pulls that air through. So they do have that. We didn't use that. But then also, if you did, and it would be really interesting to see a water cooled build in this, but you can essentially fit a radiator in the graphics card section. You can do a 120 rad in there and still have room for a 200 millimeter graphics card. So like a smaller mini graphics card you could fit in here with a 120 millimeter radiator. I would love to see that. That would be crazy because just how small everything is. But you can do that. And again, they have all of the clearances for your radiator and everything like that. They also do include standoffs so you can mount the radiator and everything if that's what you're planning on doing. So a lot of customization with this. I think that's the killer thing, because you see a lot of these cases, you're really limited on, like, you can't adjust it. You know, you're limited to this amount of graphics cards. And while you're still limited, obviously this is a mini ITX system and you're limited, but, like, you know, if you wanted a larger cooler, you can do that. If you wanted more space for a graphics card, you can go ahead and do that. So I think that for a lot of people, that's the killer thing, because you see a lot of these mini ITX cases and they're just set. You can't change anything, right? You know,
they're very similar builds, because you're like, oh, this is the only cooler that fits in here. So it's whichever one, you know.
Yeah, so this gives you a lot of options, right? You can do a larger CPU cooler. You can do, again, like an RTX 4090, so doing the max GPU layout. You can also do, you know, that 120 millimeter AIO with a mini graphics card in there. I mean, you know, especially like one of those new mini, was it the 4060 TIs that we saw?
Right, right.
And yeah, so it's really, really cool what you can go ahead and do. Our installation was extremely simple. I didn't have to move the spine at all because it kind of fit what I was going for. But yeah, like I installed, you know, graphics card in the front here, just strapped. So it's super simple. Yeah, SSD. And you don't have to worry.
I like the cable routing too around the outside for the power supply.
Yeah, so they route the power supply cable, so it's at the back. And then I installed my motherboard, no problem. The riser cable goes right in, no issues. You know, and again, because I was able to remove the side panels and the top panel completely, I have like freedom to move around in there, right? That's the biggest problem with mini ITX builds is you don't have a lot of room to move around. And a lot of times you really have to connect all your cables to your motherboard before you install it, because once you get it down in there, you can't access those cables if you need to change something or whatever. It's a big pain in the ass. So you don't have that with this case. The power supply mount comes off, you mount it with your power supply, you know, and then you connect it with a cable that Ryan said, you know, routes around, goes right in there. There's our power supply. Now you do want to connect all your power supply cables to the power supply before you go ahead and remount it in the system, because everything's facing down and getting under there will be a bit of a pain. So make sure you go ahead and do that. Route all of your cables. You can see it's kind of a mess, you know. Install your graphics card, which again, our graphics card went in there, no problem. This is a 3050 Gaming X from MSI. It's one of their larger card, like profile cards, but again, no issue getting the card in there, you know, at all. And you can see, you know, routed our PCI Express power cable around. And then here's the other side with, you know, me cleaning up the cables a little bit. And I really didn't clean up the I really didn't have to clean up the cables all that much. Like I used one of the Velcro ties that come included with the case to kind of, you know, adjust things a little bit, but everything like had space, which again, being such a small case, I was like, how do I have space for all the, for these cables? Right. I was actually really, really surprised. And here you can see again, just how
it's tight, but it's, there's room.
Yeah. There's room for everything. And again, it wasn't hard to connect anything, and it really wouldn't be hard to open this up. And like, if I didn't connect the cable correctly, I could get down in there and you know, reconnect things. So the build process, I think, is the best part about this. Obviously, as far as performance goes, it's going to be very subjective to what you have installed, right? If I have a super high-end processor, it's going to be a lot hotter. And again, it just depends on what you put in here. You can look at our CPU and GPU temperatures if you wanted to. I think the thing that you're probably going to most have to worry about will be your CPU, because even at 77, even if you put in the max CPU layout, 77 millimeters is not that tall. So you are going to have a lower end, not a lower end, but a low profile CPU cooler if you're going air cooling, which I think a lot of people are going to be doing. So that's something to keep in mind. But I don't think the temperatures were out of control by any means. 70 degrees at full load on our CPU there. Our GPU was fine. So yeah, like I said, I really, really like this case. It's high quality. It's extremely easy to build in, which I think is the biggest thing, at least for me. And it fits the latest hardware, right? You see these small cases come out. You can only fit a mini card in there. You know, you can't do certain things. This is just, yeah, it fits everything. I gave it a 10 out of 10. I really didn't find any issues with it. I was trying to see if there was something that I would change on this or anything, but I think, you know, people could say, oh, I want more cooling options, but that just makes the case bigger. And I think the thing that Fractal Design is going for is the smaller, you know, it's 10.4 liters, right? So they're going for the smallest possible. That's the most efficient. And I think they've done that with this. So I can't wait to see more people build in this, because you're going to have an awesome little system. And like I said, in the video on YouTube, like I can put this technically like in a backpack, like I can take this in a backpack, right? You could put this in a, what's it called? Like I could put this in my luggage, really.
Yeah. Your carry on.
Yeah. Like this would totally fit in a carry on. So I think that's super cool that you can have RTX 4090 powered system in a carry-on, which I think is really cool. So go ahead and check out the review. I had a lot of fun with this one. To my surprise, because like I said, I'm not the biggest fan of mini ITX builds or just building a mini ITX systems, but this one was great. It's going to be $179.99, and you should see it's available. I think that it's launching on Newegg first, so you probably have to find it there. But then it'll be everywhere after that. Cool. How do you feel about the price?
I like it. I mean, I like the high end exterior, right? With the solid aluminum front and back, the aluminum side panels, the imitation leather tab, the wood. Like, I like the high end exterior, right? Which usually you have to pay a bit more for. But I think the functionality of that, especially that movable spine, like all these features, I think it's a pretty fair price.
Yeah, and it was really, really cool. I didn't put it in the review, but Fractal did send over like a note that was like, this is the hardest case that we've ever had to design, you know, to get all those features. And it was pretty cool. It was from like the design team. So it was pretty cool there too. Taltosh says Hot Rod it put a Noctua D15 and cut the side. You wouldn't even have to cut the side. I don't think you could just leave the panel. Just flap it up. Go like this and just keep it open. I think that was that.
Let's take it all the way off.
Oh wait, well I can't see the other side. Yeah, you know, but yeah, I think like I said, I think we're gonna see a lot of really cool builds in this. I think a lot of people are gonna do some cool things with it, so I'm excited for that. On to also really awesome stuff. We reviewed our first PCI Express 5.0 solid state drive. So this is the heatsink version of the Crucial T700. And if you guys have been listening or watching this podcast, you know, I am super fast storage guy. I like being called that because I love super fast storage for a lot of different reasons. It loads your games faster. It's great for editing video, which I do a lot of. It's just, you know, your system boots up insanely quickly. You know, we reviewed Gen 4 drives for a while. We're over to Gen 5 now. And this is Crucial's first PCI Express 5.0 drive. They sent us both a heatsink and non-heatsink version. And the interesting thing, I want to talk about the heatsink version first, which, again, I showed you and I have here, is that, you know, when we were at CES, we saw all of the Gen 5 drives. And what is the one thing that all the Gen 5 drives had in common?
I mean, they had a fan on them.
Yeah, they all had a fan on them. Fan on this, which I was like, did they figure it out? Did they, you know? So I'm going through my testing and I go through my testing and off the bat, I run one of our benchmarks is at a disk benchmark, which I don't feel is like a really it's not a crazy benchmark for a storage device.
Right.
And it's going and it's, you know, with that benchmark, it starts out slow and then you get to your max speed. And we got to the max speed and then it throttled. And I was like, okay, this is a heat issue. So we'll talk about the heat issue and how I solved it. And I think it's pretty interesting that they did not include a fan with this. So here you can see. You know, we're starting out and then we throttle. And this is in our test bench that looks like this. And again, our test bench doesn't have any external fans on it that blowing on the motherboard, right? We have our AIO for our CPU. So, and again, most Gen 5 slots are right under the CPU, right next to your graphics card. So keep that in mind. Now, I was like, okay, we'll see what happens.
Well, and here. By your power.
Right next to your power. Right?
Like, that's a pretty warm spot.
Yeah, so I was like, okay, let me put a fan on it. So I grabbed this Noctua fan I had, and I just put it right over there, ran, no problem, right? So it is possible that if you had this in a case with good airflow,
sure,
it wouldn't do what it did. And if you look at this cooler, it is designed so it sits in your system like
front to back airflow, right?
Yeah, so you can see through it right there. You know, so you can, you know, it would essentially put, you know, but again, with no air on it, it stays warm too, because it's a heat sink, right? So it's going to stay warm. But as soon as I put air on it, it cooled down immediately. So I did a couple different tests. So obviously we did this test with the fan. And then ASRock did send us over this Blazing M.2 heatsink. This doesn't come with their Z790 Tai Chi, which we tested this on. It's like an extra. But this has the little active fan that we've seen in a lot of these designs. It got decently hot, but it didn't throttle or anything like that. And I also tested the plain drive that doesn't have the heatsink, just with the normal M.2 heatsink. That also overheated, you know, with the normal M.2 heatsink that comes with this board in the slot. You can see all of our results here. And the best thing was having a fan on the, just, you know, like that Noctua fan on the drive itself. So I think when it comes to these drives, and again, you're going to see this with all of the PCI Express 5.0 drives at the start, at least all the ones that are based on the Phison E26, which is, this is what this is based on. They're going to run really, really hot. And again, pretty much all the solutions that we've seen besides this one does right. come with a cooling fan. So I think if you are considering Gen 5 storage, E26 based, make sure you have a system that's going to have, you know, some type of fan running over wherever this is, even if you're using your own M.2 heatsink. Because like I said, the motherboard heatsink, this heatsink itself was 82 degrees at running Atto disk benchmark. That's which is really hot, and it throttled. With our motherboard heatsink, it was 81 degrees and it throttled. The Blazing M.2 heatsink that has that tiny little fan was 74 degrees. But if we just put a simple 120 millimeter fan over this, it was only 67 degrees. So
why do you think why do you think they launched it in this space or in this condition? Like, they had to have tested this, right?
So again, we use a test bench that doesn't have any,
sure, it doesn't have air, good, like doesn't active have airflow over it.
Active airflow. But again, if you think about it, like your graphics card's sitting there. Mm-hmm. If you have stuff coming in, I mean, it's kind of hard to show, but like, you know, like how much air is going to get in here in this little section, right?
Yeah.
Because you
might be enough. Yes.
Yeah. Now, I did hear that Corsair launched theirs. When they sent it out to reviewers, like the initial before launch, the reviewers were like, yeah, that fan's super, super loud.
Yeah.
Now, the fan on the Blazing M.2 heatsink from ASRock was not loud.
But the Corsair model also doesn't come with a fan. Like, I think that was just sent out in some review samples. I'm pretty sure that does not come with a fan.
Well, that's the thing, is that Corsair changed foot and they released it without
right.
a fan. And we've seen right. some of the other ones, you know, over the past couple of weeks that have been launched with the fan, and everybody's like, yeah, it's super, super loud. So I didn't necessarily, because of this is a launch review, we didn't have time to like put our motherboard in a case and retest everything. I don't know if that would make a difference. Again, you know, like you said, you have your memory right here. Here's our graphics card. Like, how much air is getting in this little section? I don't know. But I think, again, if you're considering Gen 5 storage at its launch, just like we had with initial Gen 3 storage, I believe, as well, you know, those Samsung drives did overheat. Yeah,
P961 or 690.
Yeah, so those did overheat as well.
You know what would fix this too? And I don't think it's in our news stories, but it's that new Silverstone AIO that has the external fans.
You just maybe that's why
put one over this area, and there you go.
Yeah. That's the heat. Now, as far as performance, I mean, if you look at this drive, I mean, it's a beast. Fastest drive we've ever tested. I mean, like, you know, we're only comparing against Gen 4 drives because this is the only Gen 5. But I mean, if you look at the graphs, I mean, it just crushes. You know, the only test that it didn't crush was the Anvil storage utilities, because I think this takes into account the Q4 stuff. But beyond that, I mean, like I said, everything, it's just annihilated everything behind it. Again, as this matures, as Gen 5 storage matures, you could see firmware updates that fix a lot of overheating issues as well. But again, in our test scenario, it did overheat. Both of the drives overheated with, again, the included heatsink that they have with the M.2 heatsink that was on my Z790 motherboard. So again, it wasn't like it was an old motherboard, you know, brand new Z7 and top. It was a Z790 Tai Chi from ASRock. So that's their flagship board. So just keep that in mind. You want some air running over this. And like I said, what Ryan was talking about with that Silverstone AIO that has all those fans, maybe that's why they're coming out with it.
Yeah, could be.
Yeah. So that makes more sense. But those are our reviews for the week. So go ahead and check those out. Two really, like I said, really awesome products. And I love doing launch stuff because it's like you're the first one to you know, get your hands on it. So it was a lot of fun.
It's cool.
Doing those. Now we have a case mod this week, and I want Ryan's thoughts on this because it is Noctua themed. Snef,
you love it or you hate it.
Yeah,
no, it's not terrible. Like, I've come to enjoy the Noctua look. I mean, I wouldn't want this for my build. Like, I'm not that big of a fan of it, but
I think this cool. was a I think this was a Computex build, so he built it for Noctua. But
I mean,
yeah,
I mean, this has the Asus team up on the GPU, right? We saw that.
Yeah. Or he might have built this for Asus. I don't know, because it says, I mean, it has
a lot of Asus.
And the case is designed much like the Shroud here with the V, so it's almost the same V. But yeah, all Noctua cooling components, all Noctua fans. You have, of course, the Asus Noctua GPU, matching sleeve cabling here. Yeah, I like this thing. Pretty cool.
Yeah. Again, it's one of those that looks like it's a case that you could almost send flat packed and put together. We've mentioned that, I think, the last few times we've had a Snef case that we looked at. It's neat.
Yeah, it's very cool. It's all, I believe this is all acrylic, all custom made by Snef, obviously. But yeah, really, really, like I said, some people like absolutely hate this case. Like,
I'm sure there's people that are just like,
ugly,
throwing up. Yeah,
yeah,
at this thing.
Yeah. So, but yeah, a really, really cool case. Check it out. From again, Snef. We always feature his builds, and he has a couple. There's a really awesome Computex builds that I've seen from a bunch of people that we'll be featuring over the next couple months, because there's a bunch of really good ones. But yeah, check this one out if you're into Noctua. Now we will move on to news, and I wanted to do the non-Computex news first because there were a few stories that I wanted to talk about. The first one is that, you know, we had the RX 7600 launch last week, and a lot of reviewers got the reference card from AMD. They don't call it a Founders Edition, whatever they call it. Right. Now this card is not for sale yet, but it said coming soon on the AMD website. And Tech Power Up in the review realized that some 6+2 power connectors won't actually fully get inserted into the power connection. And as we know, if you don't fully insert a power connection,
what happens there?
You could have major issues. Now, they said, I think it was like 20% of the cables that they had were incompatible, you know. And again, it's this little, it's hard to see, but there's like a little bump here that connects the you know, you have 6+2. There's that little bump right there, and it's not allowed to fully get inserted. That's kind of what happens. And you can see, like, this is a cable that has the bump. This is a cable that doesn't have the bump. And that could be an issue, as we've seen with, again, cables not getting inserted correctly. Now, AMD did respond to this. We didn't have an updated article, but AMD did respond and said when they do actually release this card, because they are going to release it, you know, that anybody can buy, they will fix this issue. So that's good that they're going to fix it. I don't know how they're going to fix it or what they're going to do. I don't know if their fix is going to be an adapter. not sure, but it, you know, it's not like it's a full board issue, as far as like, these are AMD cards, so they don't have a ton, like, it's not, you know, there's not a ton of these cards. So I guess they can make a fix somehow that because you can see that this would get in the way. There's just not enough space there. So, so yeah, we'll see. It's good that they're going to fix the issue, obviously. But I don't know how, again, how these things get past the...
I mean, I'm sure in their lab and their builds, they're just using a straight, you know, eight pin connector, yeah. Right? In their lab equipment, and then probably just in their, you know, system builds that I'm sure they do as well. Just didn't come up.
Yeah. So,
But I mean, it's not like a 6+2 is uncommon, right? Like,
yeah,
I'm looking over and I have a 6+2 running on.
Yeah, especially because, right? Again, in that kind of range of graphics cards, you know, people are going to be updating from something that probably took a 6+2, and they might have an older system where, like, your power supply, that's what your power supply had. It didn't have a straight 8 pin either. So yeah, so we'll keep you updated on that one. Also, there's going to be a Warhammer 40K Space Marine 2 game. And Warhammer 40K Space Marine was one of my favorite games that I played for hours on end because it was so much fun. So the gameplay video is pretty awesome. I can bring this. If you're into Warhammer, and this is all gameplay, it's one of that's a very awesome, like, story type game, right? It's not an online multiplayer battle royale game. Like, you're playing the game.
Yeah, I was wondering how this was going to work if it was online multiplayer, because just some of the animations, would be interesting. But no, that's cool.
Yeah, and it was just like these big open worlds. Obviously, this like big wars going on and stuff. And again, the original one was so cool, and the original one like really, really pushed your GPU too. Like I forget what GPU I was playing on because it came out a long time ago. But like going through certain scenes like this, where there was like a bunch of stuff on the screen,
your system.
Yeah, it was really funny. So I'm really excited for it. There's not a whole lot of games I get excited for, but I will buy this when it comes out. They did say, they didn't have a release date, but you can order a collector's edition, and it's going to be on PlayStation 5, Xbox, and PC. So I'm excited for that. And again, I don't get super excited for games, but that's one that I am super excited for. So, but yeah, we'll move on to Computex stuff. Now, all of our Computex articles are not in this week's news because we would be, and we're already at 38 minutes, and we would be into the 2 hours, I feel, if we went over everything. If you guys do want to see everything, we do have this little Computex 2023 that's just going to bring up all of the articles from Computex. So we have all of that stuff there. But to start things off, Asus announced their highest end RTX 4090. And this is pretty interesting because they hadn't had a ROG Matrix card since the 2080 Ti. So the ROG Matrix is their AIO card.
It just looks so damn cool.
It looks super cool.
I love this thing. I don't want to pay for it, but it looks so high end.
It's I'm so impressed with the design of this. And they were doing some really cool stuff with their 2080 Ti ROG Matrix. I saw that in person. They had it all broken down. This thing just looks amazing. And it would look amazing in your system. 360 AIO is just so well done. Like, it's, you know, this thing just looks awesome. Taltosh says it cost a Honda Civic. What's the price? Is it 2000? 2000. And it's probably gonna, like I said, probably gonna come out as a limited edition item too. I mean, it just looks badass. And there's not much to say. I mean, with this whole design is just,
I mean, performance wise right, it's gonna be on par with the 4090s, probably clocked a little higher.
It's
can get away with it.
Yeah, it's going to be the highest clocked RTX 4090 that Asus offers.
Yeah, that 360 millimeter radiator is going to keep it nice and cool. Highest, probably their highest performing card that they're going to have. And in my opinion, best looking. Even though it looks nothing like any of the other cards.
Yeah, that was the kind of interesting thing too, is that again, ROG Matrix was like their top of the line.
But it at least looked like a normal GPU.
Yeah.
You know, at least the 2080.
Yeah. This thing, man. Sometimes like you're always like, ah, man, like, are they going to have any other 49? Like, I want this high end. And it's worth the wait sometimes. And I think this card is, is worth the wait. If you're an Asus fan, if you want a card like this, you don't want to do a custom loop, I think this is excellent.
It'd be cool if they released a card like this, but without the radiator, right? With just fitting.
Yeah, you could just plug
design in a custom loop. That'd be pretty sweet.
That would be really cool. I'm sure there's like certain things
you could probably
how the pump and everything and the pump is on is here.
Is it part of the card? I don't know. You're not sharing anymore, so I can't.
Oh yeah. So like, is this the pump block?
Right, because you see the tubing go inside in that little clear piece, right? You can still kind of see it there. So yeah, maybe there's a pump in there, or maybe it's part of that piece you can't see with the Asus, the ROG logo on it.
For the 2081, like they showed us the pump in. You know, the pump was into the card. It wasn't like a card that every, you know, the AIO was essentially just plugging.
It was all inside. Yeah.
Yeah. It was all inside. So that's a thing that, you know, I don't, but it would be cool if they came out with like ROG Matrix DIY. And it was the same kind of design. Cause that design is sexy as hell.
It's very cool. Design.
Also, Asus did show off I saw a video. On TikTok, and I don't know who posted it. They're like, it's a wireless GPU. I'm like, well, not really, but they showed off this RTX 4070 that doesn't have any PCI Express power connections. It uses a proprietary connector and connection on the card. So here you can see the card. Here's your normal, you know, PCI Express connection, but then they have this proprietary connection here. And it has this proprietary connector on their motherboard where the power is going through. And then you would connect your 8-pin PCI Express or your 12-pin to the motherboard itself. I think this is a better implementation of the other sort of no wire stuff that we've seen from the one that we saw from Gigabyte. I think this one is a much better implementation because, sure. You know, and again, they showed this board here, which is an Asus TUF board that has all of the connections on the back. So there's no connections on the front. So everything goes on the back.
So you said there's a connection for the GPU on the back of the board?
Yeah. So
this isn't just pulling power through the board. It's using a connection on the back to just push through to the card.
Yeah. Well, it's pulling the power through the board. That's the thing I do through worry it, about. Yes. Is that you're putting a lot of power through the board.
Yeah.
That's not, you know, and again, this is a 4070, so I think it's limited to 300 watts. But I mean, you know, they make a version of this that's for a 4090. That's a lot of...
I mean, really, it's just going to be a straight through shot if you've got a connection on the back to your power supply. Yeah. So it technically doesn't even have to make contact with the board. It could be fully insulated by like a...
Yeah, so there was no shots at the back of this board, which is interesting that nobody saw this. This is, again, was at Computex. But yeah, I mean, that's the only thing I worry about is like, you know, say the connector is down here and you're running 600 watts through the board to here.
Yeah,
that's the only thing I worry about. But again, I do like this implementation compared to the stuff we saw from Gigabyte that has like the PCI Express connectors just like on the other side of the card, you know, and then it's, you know, the card extends and then you have a connector kind of going this way. I do like this implementation. It really seems like these companies are going with this stuff. Like
I wish they'd come up with a standard though.
Yeah.
Right? Well, you can run a MSI card and an Asus board and vice versa.
Well, that's the thing too. I was also thinking like, okay, you buy this setup, 3 years go by, you got to sell, you want to sell your GPU. You
gotta get rid of the whole thing.
Yeah. And the thing is you can only sell your GPU to somebody that has this. But I do like I said, I think this type of implementation would be more of a standard than the other stuff that we've seen. But I think it's cool. But yeah, maybe in a couple of years, this would be the standard. We don't know. Just have to go ahead and see. What else do we have as far as GPU stuff? Oh, so we just showed you the build with the Asus Noctua card. That's a collab between a cooling company and a graphics card company. Well, it looks like we have another one. And it's kind of surprising. So PNY has teamed up with Cooler Master to come up with this massive thing.
It is massive.
It's a 4.5 slots RTX 4090. It's massive. It features two Cooler Master fans. They're unknown, but I assume they're the Mobius fans that we got to see at CES. That's what they were most excited about. They're 120 millimeter fans, so two 120s on here. It is a prototype at this point, but is this kind of like, again, I get the Noctua one because Noctua is like that brand that kind of everybody knows. And is this something that we're going to continue to see as far as like, okay, we're going to see a collab
between, up to, like, a yeah, like Quiet and a Gigabyte or something. Yeah. I don't know. And to me, like, in all fair, I mean, I like Cooler Master products. Don't get me wrong, but when I think of like best fans, like they're not my top thought.
Yeah.
For cooling. Not to say that they don't make good coolers and good fans. They do. It's just not it's a surprising pair up.
And
I do like those Mobius fans. I think they're a good fan for sure.
Yeah. And I think that's what these are. Obviously we're not at Computex, so we can't tell, but, and again, this card's bigger than the Noctua card.
It's that was the other thing I was going to say is like, it's that thick. Like you almost want it to be smaller to show how good your fans are at dissipating that heat through whatever sort of heat sink you've put in this card. The fact that it's 4.5 thick is like, okay, why does it need to be that thick in order to keep this?
Yeah. Thing? So, and again, it's a prototype. It could be refined and made smaller and all of those things, but interesting to see that I was really, when I saw this story, I was like, Cooler Master.
It seems like it's a very early prototype because you still got the fan, you can see the wires hanging out the top of this thing.
So, yeah. So, like I said, we'll see if that actually does come out. We don't know, but I mean, based on the popularity of the Noctua card, you could see more companies being like, "Yeah, like we'll team up." Like, you know, Asus and Noctua are killing it. Like, we can get, you know, a percentage of what they're getting would be good for them, I think. So, what else do we have here? Corsair, new Dominator memory. So we've always been a fan of Dominator Platinum. That was like the kind of if somebody's doing a high-end build and they're like, what kind of memory should I get? It was always Dominator Platinum was like always recommended. Now we have Dominator Titanium. So that's their new DDR5 Dominator Titanium. And there's a RGB and non-RGB, the non-RGB white and black with those copper heat spreaders at the top. The RGB version looks like this, where you have RGB, you have the normal diffuser at the top, but also sort of on the sides, you have a bit of diffusion for the RGB lighting as well. I think these look great. They're going to do good. I don't see, Corsair not selling a ton of these.
I like the look of the current Dominators. These aren't my favorite, but like you said, they'll sell a ton of them. So
yeah, and with all the Dominator stuff, like it's handpicked ICs, it's the highest bend ICs. These are going to be available in high speed for DDR5 as well. So again, if you are doing a new gen build, these are ones that I would definitely consider if that's what what you're doing. So Taltosh says he has Dominator Platinum in his last two builds. Yeah, I didn't put him in my, I wanted the G skill, which we're going to be talking about next. I wanted the G skill in my current build. That's why I didn't do Dominators in there. I just like that crystal crystal type look. And I'll get Ryan's thoughts on that one. So G-Scale showed off their new DDR5 memory at Computex as well.
I don't think I saw these yet.
Okay, so at the highest end, they have Trident Z5 Royal Elite, which looks like...
It's just going to keep adding crystals. Name tags onto this stuff. That's hideous.
Yeah, I wasn't really a fan. I was like, I saw this and I was like...
That looks terrible. I don't like the gold sticks on any design anyways, especially when you pair it with RGB. Like, the gold can look good with white lighting, okay, and that's about it.
The thing in my opinion, this made me think about was like Super Mario Brothers for some reason. Like the yeah. So that's what they look like. The silver,
I don't like it at all.
Yeah. So that's the super high end. That's again Z5 Royal Elite. Then they have Z5 Royal, which again is just more streamlined.
It's better.
Yeah.
I think. I also don't like the font on the side of it. Like, I've never liked that fancy, like, scrolly text. Nah.
All right. And then they have on the kind of like their normal memory is their Z5 RGB, which again has that same, those same heat spreaders, but it has this black across with the a better logo, I'd say.
Right. I'd rather see that logo lasered into the stuff.
Yeah.
As opposed to that scrolly text.
Yeah.
Just not a fan.
But yeah, and these don't have the crystal diffuser. They just have a white diffuser that goes through. So not, you don't get the crystal on these ones. But yeah, cool stuff. Yeah, when I saw the headline, I was like excited. I was like, oh, new, like they're gonna change the design, but it's gonna be something crazy. And then I saw this looks like it was like stamped with like a metal stamper. Like,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it just doesn't, I don't know. Maybe like again, these are like phone photos. Maybe they look better maybe they look better in person, but yeah, we'll see. But yeah. Moving on from that to SSDs, and this is like when we're talking about cooling Gen 5 storage, 8data XPG has this crazy, I guess you could consider it water cooling drive. It's their Project Neon Storm, and it's this drive right here. And as you can see, it's pretty big. It actually has a fan on this side, a fan on this side, but it's encapsulated in water cooling. I don't know if it's water, but it's water cooling solution in it. And it has a cylindrical, here, I'll just go to the breakdown. So you have a water cooled casing, which again is, it's not just water. That would be some type of cooling solution, Ryan, right? You're the water cooling guy.
I'm just, I haven't seen, I didn't look at this. So I'm reading it as we go. So I don't know. Fan rotation accelerates heat dissipation from the alloy tube. Where's that? So the tube is inside of that thing.
Yeah, so you have a aluminum tube that's inside of a casing, and inside the casing is liquid.
Okay, so what I
was asking is, they wouldn't just be like distilled water.
It's not going to be water, like, no.
Yeah, it's going to be like a water, like a water.
I mean, I guess it could be water. I mean, as long as it's sealed up, it'd be fine.
This is pretty interesting. And we've seen some of this before from, who was the company that had the other ones for Gen 4 storage? They had them in a bunch of different colors that had the coolant in there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And this one's pretty interesting. Dual fans, plus the aluminum tube in the center.
Yeah, so you get airflow through that tube, like Taltos was saying. I was trying to figure out like the design here with this exploded view. That little fan is going to push air through the center of that tube. And so you probably got a fan, you know, facing the other direction to keep the flow going through. I don't know. It's neat, I guess. It seems pretty highly engineered for what sort of results, right?
I think, again, we see these and they're just like, oh, we're going to, you know.
They're like, look at what we could do.
Yeah.
Just because you can doesn't mean you should in all cases.
And again, I just like we saw with Gen 3 and Gen 4 and now Gen 5, this first generation of drives are going to be extremely hot. as things progress, you won't need any of this. But it does look, I mean, if you look at the draw, it looks pretty cool.
Oh yeah, it looks neat.
Yeah. And again, you will need a decent amount of clearance, you know, on this, but it would be cool to see. And you can see, is that like the air bubble right there? It's kind of hard to see, but yeah, it's interesting to say the least. But yeah, that's what XPG was showing, which I think is pretty cool. And I think, like I said, Computex is more of, has more of like the far out things, I would say, at compared to CES. But product was just launched that we got a sneak peek of at CES that we couldn't tell you about. They had it behind a, it wasn't a door, it was a closed curtain.
It was a curtain, yeah.
And we had to ask, I had to ask about it. They weren't going to show it to us, but I was like, do you have this here? And they did.
What are you talking about? Yeah.
So Height, they unveiled their first AIO. And the name is pretty interesting. The Thick with two C's, Q60. So this is a 240 millimeter AIO, but it, as the name implies, it's thick.
It is a very thick radiator.
Yeah, very, very thick. Does it say how thick the radiator is? Probably does.
I think it's 52 millimeters.
Okay. And a pair... 52 millimeters on the radiator, 32 yep. millimeter thick of their new FT12 fans. And right. The interesting thing about this is that it has this display that sits above the pump block. It doesn't sit on the pump block. It sits above the pump block.
When we saw it, it had like a little arm that was attached.
Yeah, to the pump, it does.
That like kind of held it off of there. And you could, I think you could like almost move it.
Yeah, right?
You can. Rotate it or adjust its angle, maybe. I don't know if that's still a thing or not.
The only thing I see with this is like your cover, it is big. And I get like having screens on like the actual block, like you can kind of see the little arm that comes off, but it's like you're covering so much space. And I guess my thought is like, do you want a big screen in your system?
Maybe.
I don't know. That's the only thing I didn't necessarily like about it. I like the idea of a thicker radiator, and I'm sure you do for a AIO, right? And again, this is more or less made for their Y40 case because it just fits in there perfectly. Here it is in the Y40. But yeah, that's the
and
only thing.
I'm pretty sure that the tubing that they're using as well is a larger diameter.
Yeah.
Right? So you get a little more potential for flow through there. It's cool, though, and I'm excited for some of their fans and their connectivity with, I think they were using USB Type-C or a Type-C mm-hmm. connector mm-hmm. for a lot of this, so I think that's going to simplify things a lot as well, which we've been seeing from a lot of fan manufacturers, right? Like, just figuring out a way to get rid of all that rat's nest of cables that we've been so used to on these newer fans in the last 5 years or so. They're finally getting around to cleaning it up and coming up with better solutions, so...
Yeah, cool. So I like I said, I like a lot of this. I think, and again, I like screens and I like stuff like that, but for some reason, the screen on this, to me, I don't know. We saw like a depth, like we didn't see a finished product, so I'd like to see this in person and kind of see how much space that screen actually takes up, you know, because again, on this picture,
well, it doesn't look like it's overhanging your memory. I don't think, right?
I don't know. I'd like to see what it looks like. But like I said, good for Height. We're good friends with them. And like I said, it's cool to see a newcomer kind of push the industry, right? And this is something that you don't typically see is a big, thick radiator like this.
There's a lot of things that are bringing new ideas, right?
Yes.
All their launches of products have been pretty amazing.
Yeah. Talking about coolers, and we've been talking about Noctua during this podcast, they showed off a second generation of the NHD15, which is more or less the industry standard when it comes to high-performance air cooler. This is, if somebody's like, I want the highest performance air cooler, I'm like, get a D15. We reviewed the original D15. We reviewed a bunch of the small revisions that had support for like AM4. We reviewed the Chromex Black one. I mean, they're awesome coolers. They're huge, but they're awesome. And again, Noctua hasn't really changed this cooler since 2014. which is pretty impressive as well. That's
a pretty long run.
Yeah. So the second generation, again, it's massive. Double fan, two 140 millimeter fans on there. They made the towers slightly smaller, but they increased the fin density. So you get actually 20% more fin, or 20% more
surface area.
Surface area on this. So they've done that. They've also, instead of six heat pipes, you're going to get six, you're getting eight heat pipes on this, which is just crazy. But the good thing about that too is that the heat pipes go across the entire base here. So you don't have just like four in the center. They'll go across the entire base. So if you were using a CPU that has a chiplet design, it's going to cover all the chiplets equally, right? Which is definitely a good thing there as well. So lots of upgrades, newer fans that they didn't. They're like, these are our new next gen fans. We can't tell you much about them. But again, this is an early look. Won't come out till Q2 of 2024. So that's a whiles away.
That's a long way away.
Yeah, they might have, again, things could change, and all of that, but. Yeah, it's going to use the Secure Firm 2 Plus mounting system. And again, it's going to have 100%. I don't know if it said 100% RAM clearance, but it's going to have enough clearance. Like, it's not going to get in the way of VRMs. It's not going to get in the way of, at least the stacks aren't going to get in the way of your memory or anything like that. So you should be good on all of those fronts. So, yeah. Pretty exciting to see a new product from Noctua. We haven't really in the high end air cooler space. We haven't seen anything from them. So. And then our final piece of news, which is something that you're like, why didn't they think of this initially? And we talked about it for so long on this podcast about when the RTX 4090 launched, the 12 VHPWR power connection and how cards were melting, power connections were catching on fire, all that stuff, right? And the main reason behind that is because people weren't inserting the cable correctly. We've already said that. Yeah. You weren't inserting it correctly. And for a lot of people, you don't realize that it's not fully inserted. You're super excited to get your brand new graphics card. You're slapping everything together, and it happens, right? And so MSI came up with a super simple solution that's going to be shipping with a lot of their new power supplies, is that they just made the connector yellow. So if you don't have the cable fully connected, you'll see yellow. If you do have it fully connected, you won't see any yellow.
Yeah.
And that's on both sides. So this is the connection to the power supply, the other connections to your graphics card. If you see any yellow, it's not fully inserted.
Yeah, I think this is a good idea. Again, I still think a solution with like screw in terminals, is better, but, no, I think this is a good.
And it's just, it's crazy to think that NVIDIA didn't think of this.
Yeah.
Right. Because they could have had the green cable, right? The, you know, where that's green. That's
exactly what I was thinking. Yeah.
And, you know, but yeah, good for MSI. I mean, again, it's a simple solution, and it's a non-expensive solution as well. And again, it saves a company like MSI from RMAs, from tech support, from all that stuff, just by adding that little bit of yellow on there. So, super simple thing. And again, it's going to ship with their new ATX 3.0 power supplies. It'll be interesting to see if we see some cable makers come out with stuff like this as well. Yeah. So that is the Computex news. Like I said, we have a full section of Computex stuff, and there's going to be a lot more stuff coming out throughout the rest of this week and into next week, probably. So a lot of cool stuff. Ryan was telling me about some stuff that I didn't even see yet today. So we'll have a lot of stuff. Now, we won't have a podcast next week because Ryan's going on a little vacay. But we'll have a ton of stuff on the site. I'll put some stuff up, and we'll be doing a bunch of news. So definitely stay tuned for all that stuff from Computex. So I feel like Computex is interesting. And I think it's like CES. It's like the first day, there was so many news stories. There was like a ton, right?
Yeah.
As you get into the second day, everybody's going to parties and getting drunk, and then like right. the coverage.
That's sort a multi-day of event too. It falls off.
Yeah.
But I feel like today was a very busy news day from there.
Yeah, yeah. So I saw. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff coming out. So well, like I said, we'll keep you guys updated. Just check the sites and our social media. Everything's going out that way. So definitely stay tuned for all of that. Also check our social media because we put a Steam code in our Discord today. Actually, Taltosh got it. And it said it was one of his games that was on his wish list as well. And like I said, I have a ton of Steam codes. I either throw the Steam code out in our Discord, or I throw it out in our just like on social media in general. So yeah. So we'll be doing a bunch more of those. I totally forgot I had all those Steam keys, and I was just like, I'll throw one out today. So he got it. So yeah. And then it's
just FYI, Epic Game Store has Fallout New Vegas Ultimate Edition for free.
Nice. Till tomorrow.
Till tomorrow. And then another mystery game coming out in 13 hours.
Nice. And then as far as what we have coming up next week, I do have a really interesting mechanical keyboard. So this is the Lowfree Flow. Low profile mechanical keyboard. All sort of like aluminum metal design. It's on Kickstarter right now. We'll have the review up for you next week. Kale mechanical low profile switches. Lots of cool stuff with this. But yeah, really, really low profile. Hot swappable, as you can see here as well. So you can easily pull these out.
RGB side lit. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, so it has some interesting things. PBT keycaps. Like, it's a really cool keyboard, and it's on Kickstarter right now for, I think it's like $100. It's not crazy expensive. Already beat their pledge, so that's good. Back this project. Oh, this is in HK, so I can't do a thing. But I think it's like $100 if you get the keyboard. But we'll talk about it. All right, we won't talk about it next week, but it'll be on the same. Where? About 129. Yeah, it's like $129 for the keyboard. But check the website, like I said, next week. We will have the review of that. Cool. So stay tuned for that. And I might have some other stuff. I have so much stuff here to review, man. It's just piling up. So lots of stuff going on. Yeah, is there anything? Like I said, we do talk about tech-related things.
Tech-wise, no, just another quick week, man. This one's flying by too. No, I got that. I've got a cooler coming in from Cooler Master, and another one supposedly coming in from Lee and Lee. And yeah, no, just waiting on those.
Yeah, yeah. Like I said, I mean, I did my ITX build, which was a lot of fun.
There's a case from Silverstone that I want to see some more images of, but it might be like a maybe for a small form factor build.
Nice. I'm trying to think if I did anything else. I mean, Gen 5 storage, first time testing that, so that was a lot of fun. Like my reviews were like a lot of fun this week. So that was cool. I got my first ever EVGA SFX power supply, so that was pretty cool too. So that's what I installed in there. Okay. Yeah, so lots of, like I said, lots of.
That's cool like stuff. My go-to brand for power supplies.
Yeah, it was I was really, really, they're like packaging and everything. I hadn't gotten an EVGA product in a while, and I was like, oh man, I just remember like really good packaging. Everything kind of worked well together. So that was kind of my tech week. Taltosh said Diablo 4. In 2 days, yeah. Isn't it launching like sooner than that? Or like there's a... I saw somebody post something.
I don't think so.
Somebody posted something that was like in tomorrow. But yeah, Diablo 4. We've talked about this before.
June 2nd. I thought it was June 6th. Oh, early access is Friday.
Yeah, early access is Friday, yeah. So if you're into Diablo... I've played it. It's not something I would be super excited for. So I'm definitely more excited for the Warhammer Space Marine 2, which looks pretty awesome. So, but yeah, we're going to switch things up and start some gaming. So we're going to be over on Twitch, although we are streaming right now on Twitch. So If you are on Twitch, the stream will go down. Ryan pops that stream back up because he is the stream master.
Okay.
Some actually not really. Every time
I'm not because I'm not because last week I forgot to unmute some audio sources and so it was just like a silent stream.
Oh really?
Yeah.
I always have your audio muted, like because I watch you, you know, when we're playing. So yeah. Yeah, I'll make sure you have everything. But yeah, I mean, so Ryan typically has some issues. He always has a mic issue or something like that. And I'm sure Shinny can corroborate that. But Ryan does have some issues. But we're going to go ahead and be over there, twitch.tv/thinkcomputers, playing some Apex Legends. It feels so long since I've gamed, but it's only been since last week. But it just feels like forever for some reason.
Yeah, I didn't play any extra this week.
Yeah, so go ahead on over there if you want to keep on hanging out with us. Thanks, everybody, for coming out. Taltosh and Shinny in the live chat and everybody that, of course, listens later. And we'll see everybody in 2 weeks. I forgot. We're tomorrow we're going to be on the Home Gadget Geeks podcast. So it's the averageguy.tv. Check it out there. We'll put it out on all of our social media as well. Yeah. All the Think Computer social media. So if you want to
watch it live on YouTube.
Yeah, you can watch it just like this.
Averageguy.tv.
Yeah, just like this. It will be there. So we'll have all the links and we'll be hanging out with Jim from Home Gadget Geeks talking, of course, tech, which will be a lot of fun. So stay tuned for that as well. But again, if you want to keep on hanging out, just head on over to Twitch and we will see everybody in 2 weeks since Ryan's going on vacation.